I'm Anna David, and I interview actors, writers, musicians, and other creatives about addiction, recovery, and sharing their dark to find their light.
Well, I think that all my heroes were drug addicts.
This podcast features both the interviews and the stories. The interviews often share the dark. The stories often share the light.
Oh, yes. I had 8 butt cakes while watching 35 Forensic Files, but I did not drink.
Are you a light hustler? Keep listening to find out.
And I was like, really? Like, that's you? That's it? That's what I am? I'm just bad at being uncomfortable? So simple, and it also makes me feel like such a dick.
Why, hello. Welcome to Light Hustler, podcast about addiction recovery and sharing your dark to find your light. This is one of those episodes that's from my live storytelling show in Los Angeles, which takes place, well, it's all changing. The place where we have been doing the show has shut down, no fault of ours, and we're moving to a new venue. These episodes are from the final show at Open Space. It's a historical moment. Save this for your grandchildren, all of that. But anyway, it's one of those shows, and it's a really, really funny story. The person gets a proper introduction, so I'm not going to be redundant, and I'm just going to tell you he's a super funny guy who does the show all the time, and you love him, and you'll continue to love him. And the only other thing I want to talk about is just basically my mission in 2019 is to get people, more people out there sharing their stories, because it has this like cumulative effect. I share something that's shameful to somebody who then shares their thing, and then suddenly it's grown and it's a movement and lots of people are saved from otherwise feeling alone in their struggles. So I want to help as many people as possible with that. If you think you might be somebody who wants to share your story and possibly grow your business at the same time, you're wondering, is that me? Go take my quiz, thoughtleaderquiz.com. Yeah, take the quiz. I say share your story if you want to. There's no obligation. But if you're somebody who's toying with the idea, I say take the quiz. Now, please, please, please put your hands together for Cain Holloway. With that, I'm going to bring up our first performer. You have seen him here before. He's a Seattle native, but he lives here conveniently, is a nationally touring comedian, podcast host. He's performed on Laughs on Fox. He's appeared on VH1. And you can hear his comedy album, See What I Did There, on iTunes. Put your hands together for Cain Holloway.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Anna. One more time for Anna, everybody. Oh, so I just celebrated 2 years sober on Monday. Thank you. Nothing pleased me more than getting to 2 years. Fuck. I've been opening up in my act on the road about being sober, and when I'm at normal comedy club audiences, when I tell them I don't drink anymore, they boo me, which is fucking hilarious to me, because alcoholism is a disease. It ruins millions of people's lives every year. Alcohol is a poison that we voluntarily put into our bodies, and I tell them I don't want to do it anymore, and they're like, fucking boo, what? How does he drive? And so I could even explain it to them that way. I could explain my thought process into why I quit. I could be like, listen, guys, you know, it was just for me, it was every day was about the bottle. I had to get drunk just to be able to function in normal society. And, you know, I started losing friends and then family members, and my fiance was going to leave me, and I stopped booking work. And so I just thought that, you know, I would take control of my life, and I decided to stop drinking. I'd still hear one guy in the back, pussy, what a bitch. I don't talk to my family anymore. Have a drink and shut the fuck up. Isn't it funny? I was thinking about this today. Isn't it funny that when you're a practicing alcoholic, you're really proud of being an alcoholic? until someone calls you an alcoholic, you know, like that fat guy that can't take a fat joke, that kind of thing. Like, you'd be like, hey, man, why are you drinking at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? It's like, I'm an alcoholic. I got a problem. But the moment someone's like, hey, man, I think you might have a problem, it's like, why don't you watch your fucking mouth? I got a problem. What do you mean I got, why? What makes you think I got a problem? You're doing coke at a baby shower. I locked the door. I'm in the bathroom. Fuck off. I'm in my 30s, and I kind of like, I'm digging the fact that I don't drink anymore, you know? Like, I like that I don't do it because it starts to get sad in your 30s because people cling on to alcoholism. They don't want to, they start dressing it up. Like a few Christmases ago, my buddy Rob, he was like, he called me up for a holiday party. He's like, hey, Selena and I are having a holiday bash. There's going to be all kinds of opportunities to get fucked up. We got beer pong. We got drunk gambling. We're going to do Christmas movie drinking games. It's going to be dope. It's this Friday. Can you come? I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, I'll be there. Bell's on. I'll be there early. Fuck yeah. He's like, oh, real quick. It's a ugly Christmas sweater party. So make sure you bring one of those. I'm like, I don't have an ugly Christmas sweater. He's like, well, that's no problem because you can go to Walmart and pick one up for cheap. Problem solved. Oh, cool. I'm not going to do that. And he's like, Kane, you have to. Otherwise, we won't let you into the party. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to come. Look, I like drinking as much as the next guy. I don't like people fucking telling me what to do, especially Rob, all right? I don't like the hierarchy. If I won't go to nightclubs in Vegas because of their dress code, I'm not going to make myself uncomfortable to drink at Rob's house. You guys feel what I'm saying there? Like, if I'm not going to take my hoodie off to meet DJ Khaled, then I'm not going to go buy an itchy sweater so I can watch them play Taboo. So, fuck that. Plus, I know it's Rob who's the one telling, it's married Rob, who's being like, you know, you have to. And I've met his wife. She's great. She hates me, but whatever. It's not, she has reason to. But high school, I've been best friends with Rob since high school. He wouldn't pull this shit. Like, I'm not going to let high school Rob, the guy I know, tell me what. One time we were in high school, we found an unopened bottle of Blackberry Smirnoff, and we decided to play the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas drinking game. So if you've ever played that video game, this is the drinking game. If you get into a shootout, chased by the cops, or you're killed, you have to drink. So 10 minutes later, the bottle's empty, and we're completely fucked up. And we're starting to get more drunk, because when you drink vodka that quick, then you're like, oh, well, I'm cool, I'm drunk, oh no, it's, oh no, and then you just start to fucking turn into a ball. So right before we're turning into like this stone of people that can't function, we're having these drunk, like exciting, let's go on an adventure. When Rob gets drunk, he's very sentimental, and at the time, we were also dating girls that were also best friends with each other. I was dating Abby, he was dating Heather, Heather was staying the night at Abby's place. And when Rob gets drunk, he's sentimental. He's like, I want to see Heather. I wish we could see Heather tonight. And when I get drunk, I like to take my dad's stuff and hide it and watch him get pissed off because fuck that guy. So I hear, let's go see the girls. And my first thought is, hey, let's steal my dad's car. So he lives like 6 houses down from me. And when we go out, I'm like, we got to be quiet because it's pretty late at night. And we start creeping through the neighborhood like this. We start crouching so as not to arouse suspicion. We're in the middle of the fucking street. You want the cops called on you, do this shit. So we make it up to my house, and I take my dad's Pontiac Grand Am, which was supposed to be mine as a birthday present on my 16th, but then he didn't have good enough credit to get the car he wanted, so he took it back. He took back my birthday present, so that's technically mine. So we get in the car, and we're too drunk to drive, and we somehow make it to Abby's. In Abby's place, and Heather and Rob, they just disappear. They're gone. And when Abby grabs me, we go up into the bedroom, and we're making out, and we're fooling around. Periodically, we're watching episodes of Laguna Beach, and we're, I'm just giving you a time frame here. And and then I'm like, oh, wait, what time is it? And Abby goes, it's 3 in the morning. And that's when it hits me. Oh, fuck. I have a shift, a 6 a.m. shift at Red Robin that I have to get to that my dad is driving me to. Why did I steal this motherfucker's car? What an asshole. And I shouldn't be stealing this guy's car, because this guy fist fought me on my birthday one time. He open hand fist. I shouldn't be stealing this guy's car. I felt like a drug dealer that was like stealing from Pablo Escobar. I know I'm gonna get fucking caught. I'm gonna get killed. So I get down there and I tell Rob, I'm like, hey man, we gotta get out of here. He's like, yeah, Marty's gonna kill you. Let's get in the car and we take off. So we take off and we get like 2 or 3 blocks before Rob's like, I gotta piss. And he gets out at 3 a.m. in this neighborhood, like right under a street lamp, right underneath it. And then the door, the dome to the car is open. He swings it open wildly. He's just peeing, and we're parked like on a hill, and he's peeing up the hill. So now the piss is like coming back down at him, and he's doing this maneuver where he's like trying to spread his legs and get it. It keeps coming from my shoes. So I'm like, I hear him peeing, so I gotta pee. So I get out, do the same thing, but I'm peeing down the hill. I should have drove. So I'm peeing down the hill. He gets done first, gets in the car, and then just takes off down the street. He gets like a house and a half down the block before he realizes I'm not in the car. He stops suddenly, so suddenly that the car just like pops up and he drops back down. Then he rolls down the window in the middle of the night and he just goes, Kane, where are you? And then honks the horn twice. So we get into the car. drive home. Somehow we make it home without incident. I get into the house, lay on the bed, and I fall asleep for what feels like a minute and a half before I'm being shook and awake by my dad. He's like, hey, I've been yelling your name for 5 minutes. Get the fuck up. We gotta go. So I'm like, shit. I wake up. I'm already in my uniform. I don't know how the fuck that happened. I already have my Red Robin shirt on. So we get into the car, and my dad's like, hey, why does it smell like piss in here? I'm like, I don't know, dude. I'm still drunk hungover. Like, I'm fucked. Like, I want Denny's, but I know it's coming up. So, like, and then my shift at Red Robin, I was a prep cook / dishwasher. So I have to cut all the veggies, put them in this big bin, and walk them into the walk-in. Oh, my dude. They might as well have just handed me turds with firecrackers in them, because I'm just like, oh, God. Keep it cool, man. It was in middle... It was wintertime in Washington State. It gets fucking freezing out there, and it's cold inside. I'm right next to the walk-in freezer. It's cold where I normally cook, and it's like 6 a.m, and I am sweating my balls off. I'm fucking, why do tomatoes smell so bad? Onions, fuck! So I somehow, without incident, cut all the vegetables, get them in their coolers. I might as well have been just picking up rocks, like boulders, just because they were the heaviest fucking containers of veggies. Throw them all in, and now it's time to go to the dishwashing station. I get to the dishwashing station, and the night crew is supposed to have this thing pretty much spick and span. I'm supposed to make sure like little odds and ends are cool, but these guys fucked me. It's as if they knew I was gonna get blackout drunk before my morning shift, because when I look into the sink, there's half-eaten burgers, half-eaten French fries soaked in the water and some of the juices, stack of plates with, and they're all kind of like arranged in an odd, like, fuck this plate kind of way. There's streaks of ketchup and secret sauce and mayonnaise on all of them. And I see all of this, and I say in my head, keep it cool. And as I'm thinking it, just, ha! I just yak into the sink, and I was like, it was so like such a forceful yak, I had to grab onto the keep my fucking hang on. I'm like, all right. So I grab the handle. I'm like, you need this job. And so I grab the handle. I'm like letting that like balance me, and I go to spray it. It hits the vomit with such force, shapow! Right back in. It was a fucking chain reaction. So I take off my apron, lay it over the sink, walk into my boss's, my manager's door, and I go, I quit. And then I walked home. I didn't even want him to yell at me. I was just like, I don't have the mental dexterity for that shit. And it takes me an hour to get home. I'm dry heaving the whole way, walking, freezing. I didn't have a jacket. And I'm just in my Red Robin shirt with specks of water and vomit. I get to my neighborhood and I'm like, I can't go home. My dad thinks I'm at work. So I realize, like, oh, Rob went home. Let's hope to God the door's unlocked. So I go to Rob's house, and he did. He didn't lock the door. Open the living room. Open the door into the living room, and Rob is laying half naked on the living room floor. And this is the best part. I've always wanted to tell this story, and when Anna told me to come do the last show, I was like, fuck yeah, I can't wait to tell this part. Okay, he's laying there, no shirt, no pants, boxers. But he, for some reason, put both of his arms through the holes in his pants, and he's... And my brain, I'm like drunk and I'm tired, but I'm like, I have a theory. What I think happened is he got home and he was hot from the crouching. He got hot from the sneaking he had to do. And when he got into his house, he's like, oh, fuck, I'm so hot. And just starts taking clothes off. And he got tired from taking his clothes off and being exhausted in general. He just lays on his living room floor. And right before he's about to fall asleep, he's like, fuck, I'm cold. And he grabs what he thinks is his shirt. And he starts trying to put his shirt on without opening his eyes, not realizing he's not touching shirt fabric. He's got pants in his hands. And he just goes, fuck it, and falls asleep like that. And that's the guy that tells me what I'm going to wear to a party? I don't think so. Thank you guys very much.